Thank you, Barbara and Jay. You've got your Bible this morning. I want you to open to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. The message of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ came first to the shepherds, and I thought it was very appropriate this morning as Charlie opened our assembly for Sunday school, where he shared this important point. The angels didn't come to the priests, they didn't come to the kings, or to even to the leaders of Rome. They came to the shepherds, watching over their sheep in the fields. In fact, Luke is the only one to actually record the events of that night. Matthew tells us about the wise men who would come approximately 2 years after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew tells us about a house and not a stable. He talks to us about a house and not a stable. Matthew tells us about a young child, not a babe. Matthew tells us about a star, while Luke tells us about the glory of the Lord shining all around the shepherds and the angels proclaiming the good news of the birth of the Christ child in Bethlehem on that very night. And so Luke is the only one who actually records the events of the night of Christ's birth, and the message of the birth of Christ came first to the shepherds. Who were the shepherds? Who were the shepherds? They were the occupational ancestors of Abraham, Moses, and King David. All three of those patriarchs were shepherds at one time or another. The occupation of shepherd would have seemed admirable, considering the glory of their predecessors. But the shepherds of Israel at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ were not held in high esteem. In fact, they were considered the dregs of Jewish society. They were held in the lowest estimation among the Jewish people. Why then would God choose to announce the birth of His Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to such a lowly and despised group? Well, if you'll take your Bible just for a moment, and if you'll turn to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. I'm sorry, let me read the scriptures here. Verse 51 says, "He hath showed thee strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty men from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away empty." Now, that's Mary's Mary's praise of the Lord's sharing with her that she was going to bear that child. It is God's good pleasure not only to show kindness to those of low degree, but to exalt them, to have fellowship with them, to lift them up, and to set them on higher ground, so to speak. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh are not, and not many mighty men, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." That no flesh should glory in His presence. You and I came to Christ not because we esteemed ourselves properly fitted for the kingdom of God, but because we saw ourselves as lost and undone without the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what our position or standing in this world, no matter what our occupation or our reputation, everyone that comes to Christ comes to Him out of poverty and despair. From the pig pen of our human heart, we looked up to Christ and said to Christ, "Save me, Lord." And Christ reached down and pulled us up and out and placed our feet on His sure and His solid foundation. And so God announced the birth of His Son first to the lowly shepherds of Bethlehem. And one of the most wonderful things about the fellowship of men and women in Christ here at Powhatan is that we are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one of us, I believe, in my fellowship with Christians here at Powhatan, not one seems to esteem themselves higher than the other. We all hurt when others hurt. We all rejoice when others rejoice. And this week has been a time of sadness and pain and sorrow. But it's also a wonderful time where Christians come together and encourage one another and lift one another up and remind us and we're reminded of the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God announced the birth of His Son first to the lowly shepherds of Bethlehem. This little obscure village of Bethlehem today has the distinct and wonderful pleasure of boasting the birthplace of the great King of David. And even more wonderful, the birthplace of the Savior of the world. And by the way, Bethlehem means house of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. How appropriate when we consider the words of Jesus Christ in John 6:35. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." God is certainly speaking spiritually here. He's speaking spiritually here because our bellies can be full with material blessing. Our homes can be filled with material blessings. But I can promise you that with all those material blessings, without the blessing, spiritual blessing of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're useless, vain. And so it was that the glorious message of the birth of the Savior of the world came first to those that were the lowly, the meek, and the outcast, the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem. Look at verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, I encourage you, we have Bibles in the pews there, we encourage you to take your Bible and open so that you are reading the Word of God. You know, it's not my opinion that's going to pierce your heart. It's not what the preacher has to say about a particular verse of Scripture. It's going to pierce anybody's heart. But it is the Word of God read and absorbed by you that is going to pierce the heart, is going to bring glory and joy. It's also going to bring conviction. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." This is the same Shekinah glory that set Moses' face aglow when God spoke to him from the burning bush. It's the same glory that led God's children through 40 years in the wilderness. It's the same glory that hovered over Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it will be the same glory that will instantly change you and me from mortal to immortal and catch us up to be with Christ in the air. I am looking forward to that day. I am hungry for that day. If anybody was ever homesick for heaven, I am homesick for heaven. There are some wonderful folks. There are some wonderful folks who have gone home to be with the Lord, who have gone home to a great reward. They weren't looking for rewards. They weren't anxious to get rewards, but God is going to bless them with rewards because of their service to the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, let me tell you this. There are a lot of folks who are going to go home to be with the Lord who are going to come into His presence and be ashamed because they have no gift to bear. As was shared this morning, what gift will you bring to the Lord Jesus Christ on His birthday this year? What kind of gift would God look for? Well, I'll tell you, God would look for the gift of you sharing something with another in His name. You sharing your relationship with Him with somebody else who's down and maybe disheartened, maybe going through a sad time. You know of them. Maybe you can help them. I have really been blessed this as a pastor of this church to have people come to me and give me a card and say, "Preacher Jim, if you'll just make sure that this card gets to somebody who is in need in our church family." Well, it's been a joy. It's been a humbling experience, and it's been a pleasure to take gifts from one place and give them to another, because these people, they don't want to be recognized, they just want to serve. God knows who they are. What kind of a gift can you bring for the Lord Jesus this year? These shepherds are standing in the light of the glory of God. And by the way, the light came very quickly. The light came quickly. It caught the shepherds completely by surprise. In Revelation, Jesus tells us four times. Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation four times, "Behold, I come quickly. I come quickly." In Matthew 24, verse 44, Jesus says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes." Miss Alice Cole Tuesday night got a good night's sleep. She arose Wednesday morning and sat with her husband, and they together enjoyed a good breakfast. The day was off to a great start, but just in moments later, Miss Alice dropped to the floor. And despite all that the family could do, the EMS folks could do, and even the doctors, God had that very moment, and just that quickly called Alice home. The light of God came quickly. The light of God came quickly for the shepherds. Verse 10 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." He didn't say that he brought tidings to the Jews only, or to the Muslims, or to the Hindus, or to the Free Will Baptist of North Carolina. The angel brought tidings, good news to who? To all people. To all people. That means that there are people probably out and about who have no knowledge of this good news. But you have that knowledge, and what are you doing with it? God imparted that good news to you. What are you doing with it? The shepherds had never experienced anything like they were experiencing this night. It was natural for them to be afraid, but the angel says, "Fear not." It's not a time for fear, it's a time to rejoice. For verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I want you to note the wording, "For unto you is born this day." Do you see that personal relationship there? "Unto you is born this day." This speaks to us of the personal relationship we can have with the Lord. He came for you and He came for me. He is a personal God, a personal Savior, a personal Lord interested in you and in me. John 3:16 says He came for whosoever will. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the angel speaks of great joy. It is a message that is to be received with great joy. If I told you that Christ was coming tomorrow, if I told you that Christ was coming this afternoon, what would be your response to that message? Would you be excited this morning? Would you be excited? Jesus is coming this afternoon. What is your response to that? Would you be excited, or would great fear fall upon your heart? The Bible says that the great fear fell upon them when the wise men came into town looking for the newborn king. We'll share that next Sunday. Why did great fear fall upon the people when the wise men came into town looking for the newborn king? Well, there were a lot of people that weren't ready for the coming of the newborn king. A lot of people today are not ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet God says when He comes, He's coming quickly. And we need to be ready to receive Him. Are you ready this morning for His coming? Or does the thought of His coming frighten you? The moment that Adam sinned, you remember what happened to Adam? What did Adam do? The moment that Adam sinned, he and his wife both ran off and hid in the garden. They hid among the trees of the garden. Why? Because they were afraid. They were afraid. Adam tried to hide among the trees of the garden, but even though he ran away from God, God came calling for him, just as the shepherd goes looking and calling for his lost sheep. God cried out, "Adam, where are you?" And by the way, that's the second question of the Bible. Adam, where are you? That is the second question of the Bible. You know what the first question of the Bible is? spoken by Satan, and it says, yea, hath God said. Well, I'll tell you what. God told them to leave that tree of the knowledge of good and evil alone, and yet when they rejected God's word, they found themselves outside. They found themselves absent of the Holy Spirit, which they had before they ate from that tree. Satan had deceived Eve into believing a lie. And she passed that lie right on to her husband, who had no questions about it whatsoever. And so now Adam was hiding from God because he was afraid. Adam, God says, where art thou? And the same question might go out to you this morning. If God is calling you, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never entered into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and how do you do that? You do that by asking Him to come into your heart. The Bible says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe from the heart, not from the head. God cries out to you today, where are you? Where are you in your relationship with Him? God may be calling you this morning. You wouldn't be here in this sanctuary this morning if God wasn't calling you. God hasn't given up on you. He hasn't quit calling you. Adam and Eve had turned from the love of God and the Word of God and found themselves naked and lost in a world of darkness, misery, confusion, anxiety, and fear. They were in a hellstorm that they had no covering for. But today there's a covering available to everyone that suffers from loneliness, that suffers from heartache, that suffers from confusion and anxiety and frustration and misery and pain and fear. Christ is the umbrella of protection from that hellstorm. He offers forgiveness of sins, which will bring freedom from the torment of fear and help you back into a right and loving relationship with Him. And so the God that you may fear this morning is the God of perfect love. The Bible says that. The Bible teaches us that perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Do you know why we love God? Why do we love God? What does the Bible say? Because He first loved us. And if your Creator first loved you, why do you run? Why are you hiding? Why not respond and come into His light? Why not come into that Shekinah glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that place of peace and rest? We love God because He first loved us. And the Bible teaches us that there's no fear in love. And so if you knew that Christ was coming tomorrow, would your heart be filled with fear or would it leap with great joy? Well, I can tell you that there's two people present here this morning that their heart would leap with great joy. And so the angel came to the shepherds with tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Let me ask you, how many children were born in Bethlehem that night? Nobody knows. How many would be found lying in an animal's feeding trough? I believe that they would find one, the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And so this was the sign that was given to the shepherds. Verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This ought to be the desire of every Christian today, to bring glory to God by allowing His Spirit in us to sow the fruit of peace and goodwill to all men. One of the most precious verses of Scripture written by Paul to young Timothy is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Listen to what God wants for the world. Listen to what God wants for your heart. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Boy, don't we need that today. My, how this world is hurting for that today. Godly men standing up and standing in a place and taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." If you're here this morning and you think for some reason God has already passed you by, that you've already sold out your life, and there's no way in the world that God is ever going to let you come back into the kingdom, you are dead wrong. Because as long as your heart's beating, as long as your lungs are sucking in air, God is great. God's grace is poured out to you. Never forget the thief on the cross who looked to Christ and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That thief was dying for crimes against the state. He'd never been baptized. Certainly, I doubt very seriously he'd ever been baptized, ever given to the church, probably ever never been to a church. And yet at that very moment, he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What did Christ say to him? "This day will you be with me in paradise." God hasn't given up on you, my friend. God loves you, and he woos you to come to him. And by the way, every Christmas, you know, at the end of every year, Christmas is such a wonderful blessing from God, because whether the unsaved man or the wicked man or whatever, the wicked soul, they are force-fed the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no place you can go that you don't hear the gospel message. I mean, even in the secular stores, somehow or another, you're going to come by a card, you're going to hear a song on the sound system or whatever that's going to preach to you the gospel message, whether you like it or not. So don't think you're going to stand before God someday and say, "Well, I never understood. I never heard the gospel." My friend, the gospel is going out throughout the world today. Men are rejecting the gospel. You may be rejecting the gospel message this morning. It is not our calling as Christians to push people away, but to bring people to the saving knowledge of Christ our Lord. And the best way to do this is to show a spirit of peace and goodwill to all. And verse 15 says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Listen, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.'" Not tomorrow. Not next week, not next month. Let us go now. Let's go now. Let's go today. We need to seek Christ, not tomorrow, but today. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, "Wherefore today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." 2 Corinthians 6, 2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Not tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Today, God's Spirit may be calling you, and you need to respond. John 8, 24 says, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins." Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important. Matter of fact, it's absolutely essential that before you leave this world, you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. Not after you leave this world. Let me tell you, there's no hope for you. You leave this world, you die and leave this world without a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to do you any good. Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." It's important that today, while our heart is beating and while our lungs are pumping air in and out, that we commit our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am, you will die in your sins." I know people that boast today of the grand insurance policies that they have securing their families against the day of their own death. They are wise enough to look out for their own family's welfare after their death, but they are foolish not to secure for themselves the grandest and most wonderful insurance policy of all. God's insurance plan guarantees life eternal for whosoever will call upon him. And guess what? The premium has been paid in full. When will you be leaving this world? The shepherds heard the message and they hurried to the place where Christ was born. Verse 16 says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Here we have Christ's very first disciples. They didn't even think or worry about the skeptics or the mockers that they would face when they went away to share the good news of Jesus Christ. They went away reporting what they had both seen and what they had heard, and they were bold and they were confident. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." One of the problems with Christians today is they don't have the courage and they don't have the faith that they need to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you're not willing to confess me before men, what did he say? I'll not be willing to confess you before my heavenly Father. People are dying today without the good news of Jesus Christ. And you, my friend, have that good news wrapped up in John 3:16. That's the gospel message. The gospel message. What are we doing with that today? How bold are you in sharing your faith and your love for Christ with others? Finally, in verses 18 through 20, it says, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by them of the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds," verse 20 says, "returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Christmas is a time of rejoicing, especially to all those that know Christ as their personal Savior. The shepherds had good news to share. God has graciously extended that good news to you and to me. Will we forget about it like the scribes and the priests did? Will we try to suppress it like Herod did? Or will we rejoice with the angels, the shepherds, and the wise men, and share the good news with a world that is every day dying little by little without any knowledge of that gift that came in that precious little trough many years ago? The great commission for us is in Mark 16:15. "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." How have you done that at all? Have you bothered to share any your relationship with Christ with anybody else since you've been a Christian? There are many Christians who, when they go into heaven, they'll go into heaven and they'll have no gift to bring to the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll see all of these folks coming and bringing their gifts, and they'll be ashamed, because here you'll see what God has prepared for you, how glorious and how wonderful it is, the peace and the joy and the happiness that's there, and you'll see all these people coming, bringing their gifts, and you have no gift to bring. I tell you what, you may have today, you may have tomorrow, another year. I'd get busy, and I'd begin to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when you come into the presence of the Lord, you won't be the only one. That you won't be alone bringing gifts. You'll have that gift to bring to the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you doing? What kind of gift are you bringing to the Lord this Christmas? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your blessings. Father, we thank you for the assurance of life eternal, Father. We suffer, we're saddened, Father, our hearts are broken. And yet, Father, too, our hearts rejoice in knowing that by and by we're coming home to be with you. Father, coming home to a place where there's joy and peace and contentment. Lord, I pray for Melissa this morning. I pray for Bunk this morning. I pray for for Melissa's family and for Bunk's family. Father, I pray for the family of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church. And Father, I pray for each visitor that's come this way this morning. I pray, Father, that this Christmas season that we'll make good use of our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by sharing it with someone who's lost and undone without you. Father, help us to be bold. Help us to take a stand. Help us to stand up for the Lord Jesus this Christmas season. Father, what gift you've given to us is marvelous. What gift we give back to you, Father. Help us to serve you this Christmas season. And not just this Christmas season, Father. We need to be sharing that good news throughout the year. Father, bless. Move upon that one that's furthest from thee, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, Amen.